Yep.
And then she'll be fine. Great. Thanks.
No problem. And I'll let her know.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you?
Good, Stephen, how are you?
Good. You have private tutorial today.
Yeah, I guess you
Along
have
with
to
Brittany.
see.
So I can see you visually, and then we have Brittany on the line.
Okay.
So,
Steve,
okay.
we can't see
Oh,
you. I can't see you, Steve. And
yes,
can you?
because I was talking and not doing what I was supposed to do.
And you can't see
There we
Marjorie,
go.
right? Okay.
Can you
All right,
see
can you
me?
see it?
I can see Marjorie.
Can you
I
see?
can't see Stephen, though.
I can't see Steve.
Oh, you know why? Because I just left a big stakeholders meeting. Let me put on my video, start video.
And a
All
big happy
right,
birthday
there
to
we go.
Steve. His birthday's
Yeah.
tomorrow. I'm gonna tell
Woohoo!
everyone,
Oh,
Steve.
happy birthday. You're gonna have
Oh,
that
thank
beautiful
you.
day.
29
Thank
again,
you.
Steve?
Yeah,
29.
29. Yeah. But
That's
I'm
my
sharing,
grandfather
but you
voice.
know what? It's a special birthday gift because I'm sharing tomorrow. My twin granddaughters are receiving their first Holy Communion
Oh, how
tomorrow.
nice, Steve.
Oh.
Yeah. So we get to go see them. Only the grandparents can go at Saint because they go to Saint Anne's Catholic Church in Avon, and only the grandparents can go. But then they have a nice little celebration afterwards. But I share it with them.
Oh,
It's going to be a
that's
beautiful
nice.
day.
It is going to be a beautiful day. I can't
Yeah.
wait.
Yeah. Okay. So let me share with you just for programming, and I'll share highlights of this at our program, at our board of directors meeting. But just for Bureau of Special Education updates, right now, one of the big initiatives starting July 1 through for the next 2 full years is the rollout of the brand new IEP. So a new IEP has been developed. So in collaboration with the RESC Alliance, CERC, and the State Department of Ed, we have been working very hard with developing the new IEP into a special education data system, but we have been instrumental partners with the American Institutes of Research, who received the RFP to develop all the quality training modules for the rollout of the new IEP. So 20 districts were selected to participate in the quality training next year from August to December. And this summer, we have a major train the trainers program with the RESC trainers, the CERC trainers, to prepare for the rollout to the 20 identified districts. So that's a very big lift for the State Department of Ed. So it's kind of like the lift we did when we rolled out the new teacher evaluation plan many, many, many years ago. When, so this is by the end of the following year, we have to have all 169 towns trained. So we will start with 20. We'll add more towns on from January to June, and then the following year, full rollout for full adoption of the IEP that July 1. So it's a big lift.
Steve, when was the last time that the IEP system was updated? Do you know?
The IEP system itself has not been updated for quite a while because we left it up to districts. Most districts use Frontline, but a few
Okay.
districts use some other systems. This will be a full system that's universal, all
Oh.
169 towns.
So
And
everyone
this
will
is a,
be on it.
yes, because this is big, because now all the data from each of the towns has got to be transferred to this new system. And that's what the directors are nervous about, because all the data is currently in Frontline or their
Yeah.
system of choice. I would say 99% of the districts use Frontline. That's all being shifted to another system, but it's being done very methodically with the State Department of Ed, the RESC, CERC, and the districts.
Yeah.
So
I remember when our district, moved to IEP Direct.
direct,
Yes.
IEP direct, yeah.
Oh, and that was a nightmare.
Yeah, and then that shifted
that was just
over
in district. I mean, it was because because you are afraid of, you know, you're afraid of that loss of data, you know, that got moving into something like that. Oh, okay.
We're well into the process of finishing up the SLD dyslexia guidelines with our hope to be rolled out by start of the school year. We have experts on the writing team, external experts on the writing team who've been working closely with the State Department of Ed and CERC to get these done. So that's going to be rolled out. And as you know, dyslexia is a legislated topic, so a legislative initiative. So we are doing a lot of work around that. And then we're doing a lot of work to support the turnaround office. We have, so they're looking at a lot of data and are some of the special education outcomes with some of these identified schools within the CIS, TIS schools within the turnaround office need work. So on May 11th, we are launching a big summit for all the principals and assistant principals of those schools that have been identified. All the letters have gone out from the turnaround office to the superintendent to get everyone at in the space at May 11th, and CERC will be facilitating those conversations. Just some updates. So what's great about CERC and the work that we're doing is really supporting other bureaus now, other departments within the Department of Ed. So Marge, you want to give an update on EANS and RESCO?
Sure. So CERC is being tapped to provide support on several new projects from the Connecticut State Department of Education. One of them is the Emergency Assistance to Non-Public Schools program, which the Federal Department of Education provided funding to all 50 states to roll out support to non-public schools for COVID relief funding. Connecticut received just over $15 million, and the State Department of Education has asked CERC to provide support in procuring certain PPE, certain items, services, assistance that public schools may need for COVID relief support. And so we are working with the fiscal office at the Department of Education on that project. We also have been asked by the legal director at the State Department of Ed to provide support and facilitation for a regional school choice public forum for families to be able to provide feedback, commentary, input on their experiences in the school choice process as part of a new school choice comprehensive plan, which is part of the CHEF mandates. So we are working with them on scheduling and facilitating that project as well. So lots happening, a lot of new initiatives going on that we're very excited about.
Okay. And as you know, Erin, from all the correspondence and the publicity and the amount of money coming to the state, big buckets of money are coming in from the federal government to support student attendance and student engagement.
Yeah.
Because the pandemic really, really elevated and highlighted this particular area. So a lot of money, districts, in fact, we know there's this program called LEAP that just 15 districts, a lot of them were priority districts, received big amounts of money to support their work back in the districts around engaging students and getting students in their seats to learn, especially come the fall. And a lot of this work is now being supported. There's money supporting summer work, summer enrichment activity, getting students to engage in summer learning and enrichment and academic activities. So that's a big area. And CERC is, under our programming, is taking over a lot of that work to support the Bureau of Student Supports. Kari Sullivan oversees this work, and CERC is really taking on a lot of that coordination and supporting the districts with their communities of practice and Talk Tuesdays, which are activities with the district leads around attendance to support this work. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I go to a big session, and Meriden, Patty Kowalski, Patty Sullivan is on our community practice, and she's one of our leads to help support some of the work that Meriden is doing.
Yeah,
to she's support great. Student attendance and engagement. And we're doing a big session on Tuesday around home visits. That's becoming a best practice to begin to help support getting students back in school and engaged. But as you know, in districts, we're dealing with, you know, there's a lot of logistics and coordination and teacher time and how do you do this and how do you make this and can you make it a mandated practice? All of that goes into play.
That was one of the items that we won a grant right before I left Meriden. We received it when I was there, and then it was starting after I left. Mm-hmm. And it started at 2 schools for home visits. We got through the AFT National. So that was exciting for our teachers. And we had 2 schools that were, you know, dying to do it. So it was nice that, you know, we didn't have to go looking. So that was what we were nervous about, like, you know, and we didn't have to. So I don't know how it's going. I did see Patty last week. We got together. I've worked with Patty for a long time.
Yeah. And
I forgot to ask her, you know, because it started rolling. And then of course the pandemic, but
the goal is too to help make this best practice coherent across all schools.
Yeah.
Because if we just, you know, so that's where we're going, and that's one of the initiatives around that. And then the academic office is really, and there's some, I think, legislation tied to really the development of some model reading curriculum. Mm-hmm. And CERC's been asked to begin to partner with that work. And I think a lot has to do with the fact that we helped write the Black and Latino curriculum, and that CERC has skill sets in that area to help support the development of some model reading curriculum. And I know that there's been a lot of discussion at the legislative level around really developing curriculum from a structured literacy lens.
I've gotten a lot of questions about fluency.
Yes.
A lot of objections to fluency so strong in the, you know, it's interesting how that, I can remember that was a huge piece of it, and slowly people are not thrilled with the use of fluency, you know, anymore, especially when it comes to our EL students, I guess. So that's going to be a tough one to convince.
Right.
Is that part of the debate with the science of reading?
I'm sure they're part of it, you know, thinking of some of the things I'm hearing from people. It is, and it's, you know, it's always been there. When I left the classroom, I was a reading interventions, and that was always part of it, you know, that we'd have to explain that a lot to parents, you know, because the parents will say, he just doesn't read right. And, you know, and trying to explain to them that what's most important right now is that comprehension. What is he? Is he reading? Is he understanding it? And trying to convince him that's more important than how he sounds. parents only, you know, they know that someone, if they're, you know, they're difficulty getting through a reading passage or something, but you try to explain them, you know, you could have beautiful readers who can fluently say it orally and not have the slightest idea what they're even.
Yeah, they don't have the comprehension.
Nothing, you know. Right. And I think what brought it to the highlight was when our EL students weren't treated as EL anymore. You know, we weren't as concerned of how they sounded when they readed. We wanted to make sure they understood.
They understood exactly.
And I think that's what really brought it. In my career, I saw that. That was the one that pushed it forward, that it is important. We shouldn't be bothered what it sounds like when they're reading. That's not the important piece. Mm-hmm. But when I think this group is just, I don't know, they're just diving into that too much. I think they're getting caught up in that fluency word that I think it's going to cause a divide that doesn't need to be there.
Well, there's a lot of different expert camps on reading. There's always been. You've got whole language. You've got balanced literacy approach. You also have, for our students with dyslexia, the importance of real structured literacy around phonology, fluency, phonemic awareness.
Right.
Really, Orton Gillingham, like this Bureau of Special Ed is supporting so many trainings with Orton Gillingham, Wilson Reading, Linda Mood Bell, which are very highly specialized reading programs that we bring in certified trainers. And to become a certified Orton Gillingham teacher, or you've got to go through, we're just giving the 5-day overview, but to really become certified, you have to go through a full affiliate program, being observed, having a mentor, you know, so it's a very, very structured approach. But either way, we've been asked to help support that work, to support the state in the development. So, all right. Just update, we have, let me just share with you, we are in the development of the proposal planning process with the Bureau of Special Education. So right now, Brian Klimkowitz and our CERC consultants and his consultants are really developing the programming budget around special education, 5100, which is a big, as you know, is our primary funding source for CERC. So we're well in that process. And let me just share with you what we've developed for, here it is. So we are in the actual process review now, because what we have to do is develop the programming budget that needs to be sent to Brian for his full approval so that we get a signed budget in order for all of this work to begin July 1st. So where is my, right here. All right, so here is where we're at. So let me make this a little bit bigger. So this is what we use. So we are in the process of reviewing all the proposals that have been entered. Right now, we probably have 100 different special education activities, programming activities, but they're a combination of training, technical assistance, targeted and focused technical assistance with specific districts around specific special education topics based on data. So a very thorough process has been in planning from January to now. So we are right here proposing and reviewing everything in our database, because we want to send Brian a full budget to have it, so that we get a signed CSDE budget by July 1st, so in place, so we could start the work. Yeah. We have a lot of work that's going to be starting July 1, all the IEP training work, a lot of leadership work. So that's where we're at. And then this is all the work that we do internally to get everything up and running, marketed, e-blasted out, up on the State Department of Ed calendar, up on the CERC calendar, e-blasted out to different agencies to market all the work. So that's This is a right now my main priority to get all of this done with our consultants so that we have everything sent to the Bureau. So that's where we're at with that proposal process. All right, so that's, and that's pretty much customary. We met with Brian, our office manager, Christy Giacco, and I met with Brian to set up the calendar and the process, because he knows we have to get the signed budget in order for us to begin our work, send out contracts, the whole bit. So we work very closely together. Let me just share with you some of our, just our, an update with you on all the district contracts that we are doing. So right now, let me share, as of April 13th, bigger. All right. So these have been pretty much, let me make this bigger right here. The topics. Yikes. This is going haywire. Okay, so these have been the main topics for our district contract requests. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right through April 13th. So it's been a combination of PBIS, parent engagement, paraprofessionals, but look at the majority, again, continue to be equity, racial equity. Just continues to build.
They come in, they're coming in fast and furious.
Right, we just, yeah, mm-hmm. So, and let me just share the graph.
Now, when Steve, I'm sure they differ from district to district, but when you say district, are these districts are doing that their entire districts, or is it just certain teachers, certain administrators? Do you know the particular?
It depends. It might be the school.
Okay.
It might be community-based. It might be district-based. It depends.
It depends on the needs of the school.
Right.
It could be departments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had a request from one district. It was their social studies department.
Social studies, yeah.
And so it depends.
Mm-hmm.
And it, everything, of course, is customizable. So depending on what their needs are.
What their need is.
Mm-hmm.
Very good.
The big thing is we're seeing, you know, a lot of the racial equity work is through Commissioners Network schools, requests like a high school, like we're doing some really neat work with Avon High School, which is great. So it depends where the leadership and what they're looking for. But either way, we do quite a bit, and
yeah,
it's been a great opportunity for us. All right, here's the actual graph.
Imagine a lot is coming in for the start of next school year. You know,
yeah,
new teacher training. You know, that's typical. I can remember going through that type of training. I can see a lot of districts wanting that for their new teachers or new staff coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And as they are, you know, winding down this current school year, some districts are trying to, you know, spend down some money.
Yeah.
And use opportunities to train, do some professional development for their teachers before,
yeah,
the end of this school year even.
Yeah, because a lot of school districts, I didn't realize, but a lot of them have maintained that way. I used to always call them open Wednesdays because so many of our districts weren't in school on Wednesday, and have maintained that even though so many have gone back. A lot have maintained that Wednesday.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot of it is used to talk with teachers, meet with teachers, PD. So I'm sure, you know, when they're looking at all their Wednesdays moving until, you know, through May, that's probably what they're looking at to add, which is good.
Right. So as of right now, we've had 62 contracts requests from July 1 through April 13th. Of the 62, 30 are racial equity. So about 48% of our contracts have been strictly racial equity.
Wow. Well, that's not surprising. Yeah.
Out of 62 requests. But look at the number of requests, and it's April 13th. And every day we get more requests. This shows right now, from a structure standpoint, how we're continuing to diversify our funding and not be so reliant on federal funding from the IDEA grant.
Yeah.
So that's going to show that we're really, you know, look at being, you know, one of the lead agencies to help support districts around customized work to support their professional learning needs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So what will happen probably is between now and June, we're going to get an influx of requests because certain districts have other funding sources that they have to spend down.
Right.
From grants, from, you know, Commissioners Network, Turnaround Schools, they have to be looking at their books closely and have to be spending down by June 30th based on the grants. So it's pretty typical that we get a rush to try to get these in, but at the same time, it's a challenge for us because the availability of staffing and a lot of our calendars are already booked up.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good problem to have, but it's also a challenge too, because we want to be as responsive to districts, but given our current schedule and the work that we have due now between March and June it's a lot. So we do our best to be as accommodating as we can. If we can't do it, we can't do it. But it's typical that we tend to get more and more requests at this time because they have to spend down money to close out their books for June 30th. All right. So let me get my pull up my screen again, and here's the agenda. Okay, we have hired 3 new consultants to help support the racial equity work and other buckets of work that we need support with. So we went through some pretty intensive hiring process to really hire 3 great additions to CERC to help us support the work, knowing that the work is coming in rapid fire and we need to ensure we have the capacity to carry out the work. So they're well in the induction phase of CERC's onboarding. Marjorie and I meet closely with them. They all have been assigned, the 3 of them have been assigned mentors. And we're having them jump right in and start doing some observation and work. They've got the intellectual and knowledge capacity to do the work. They've got experience as trainers. So that's been a real asset for us that they've got they're coming to us with a lot of training skills to begin with.
Great.
Yep. And then we have right now, an EL consultant and a special education consultant posting out there. So we're accepting applications and we'll begin the review of those 2 positions right now to get those 2 positions hired, because we have a lot of work coming around for English learners. And as you know, your former, one of your former principals, Gladys Labus, is now the equity and language director at the state.
Right.
So we work very closely with Gladys and her department.
Yeah.
To support their work for English learners. So we're doing a lot with them and we need some support there. And then we need, because of special education and some of the, you know, the data that we're seeing and some of the challenges with the pandemic has really heightened continued need to really do more intensive PD and training for staff around specific indicators of work, disproportionality, least restrictive environment, autism, IEP development. So we need extra support there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're at with staffing around for our programming. And then these, this is the latest update, Erin, on the Black and Latino Studies curriculum.
Okay.
Yep, they're working on their final edits for dissemination end of May, early June. They're going to share it with the Integration and Assessment Committee and the advisory group. An MOA for PD plan is in the works. So there's, to make it fair and equitable, they're developing RFPs for specific external trainers for content delivery, field study, and coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And they're anticipating two cadres of initial implementers with 5 days of training this summer and 2 days of training each quarter thereafter, pending the funding. But I spoke with Michelle Abrun-Legriffin yesterday, and yeah, they're working, Gladys is very involved in this work with us, and she's on that, the State Department of Ed Committee, so they're getting everything ready to get these RFPs out.
Okay.
And I mentioned to Michelle yesterday, we've been doing a lot of RFPs for the state, for the Bureau, that she may want to talk with Gladys and the State Department of Ed for this work, for us to do the RFPs, because we can get RFPs out through the CERC channel because we're quasi-public versus getting it out through the State Department of Ed channel, which is more layers to get through to get the RFP on their website.
Many layers.
You know, so I told her yesterday, reach out, let her know. We have the system already set. We have the portal all done for RFPs. So we can get the RFPs, once it's all written and it's all set up, we can set it all up.
Yeah, great.
And so that's where we're at. So that's programming in a nutshell.
Very good.
Yeah.
Lots going on.
Oh, a lot. A lot. And you know, it's going to be a very, I could already see it from a program director and even Marjorie is, you know, now the associate director. We could already feel the work coming in from the State Department of Ed right now, both the Bureau and the State Department, to really get this year closed out and get as much information, technical assistance, webinars, updates. I mean, the Bureau and the State Department are getting ready to release an acceleration document to accelerate learning. It's done in tandem with the Bureau of Special Ed and the Academic Office under Irene Parisi. That's going to be rolled out shortly. We just told all these parents last night in a big webinar with Brian that that's going to be rolled out, and there's going to be a lot of follow-up technical assistance to support that work. But I'm already feeling that coming in to really help support these districts in preparation for opening the new school year.
Yeah.
And as the state continues to receive more and more federal funding for various educational initiatives, it's like the government is just throwing money and that trickles down. And as that trickles down, there's just so many more initiatives and opportunities that come up where, you know, we are either being asked to support or we are using our expertise and knowledge in supporting school districts. Mm-hmm. So I don't see it stopping
no.
or slowing down anytime soon.
No, I see us being used.
The next 2 years are going to be very, very active with mm-hmm. new initiatives and trainings and yeah.
Absolutely.
Well, I can already see the three main priorities are around acceleration of learning mm-hmm. and really strengthening mm-hmm. their multi-tiered systems of support in the schools. Because think about it, schools have been in and out for almost a year and a half.
Yep.
And with everyone becoming vaccinated, the expectation is that everyone will be in their seat as much as we can. And now you're going to have big gaps of learning in a classroom. You're going to have teachers having such diverse levels of learning in their room. Special education and English learners are a big group of students that have to be, we have to address those targeted groups, as well as the homeless and our the homeless students and are just the students that are chronically absent. So yeah. those are going to be big areas of work. And just really now, how are we teaching from an equity lens? Because we know with this pandemic, the racial and cultural disparities came right to the surface. And how are we going to keep supporting our district educators and leaders around really leading for equity? And so I think that that's going to be, and there's going to be a lot of reaching out to collaborative partners such as CERC and the RESCs to carry out this technical assistance, because the State Department of Ed does not have the manpower at all to do yeah. work from a technical assistance or training lens. They right. don't.
So and also as part of the governor's Accelerate CT initiative, you know, the four areas that they're really looking to provide support to districts, you know, include family engagement, which is huge, academics, the digital divide, just the, after this past year, and, you know, the learning loss that's happened with students, there's a real push right now to provide as much support as possible mm-hmm. to districts and to families.
And this is where, and Aaron, I think you can appreciate this, having been a former educator, and I can, and it seems like yesterday I was still in the seat as a principal or a director. A lot of money and a lot of support is putting into summer work, summer yeah. school, extended school year. And the problem is we have many teachers who I think are really, I'm not going to use the word burned out, but let's say tired and fatigued. And the problem is finding the staffing to do the summer work.
Yeah.
We just had a big thing with ESY, extended school year, is an IEP service, and the directors are struggling to find special ed teachers within their districts to do the work. They want to take time off. And that's going to be a challenge this summer, finding staffing to do this summer work around engagement, enrichment, and learning.
Yep, definitely.
They're fatigued, a lot of our teachers, and yep. tired.
And also, if they have the opportunity this summer to actually go someplace, I think people will take that opportunity because, you know, everyone's been pretty much in lockdown for this last year. And as things are opening up, I think people probably want to take the time to get away if they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
So those are just some of the challenges yeah. that I think some of our directors and district administrators are going to be facing around trying to really engage our students in the summer to, you know, around the learning loss that they had this year, mm-hmm. but yet finding the staffing to do it.
Right.
It's going to be a journey. But so that's, so in one sense, it's really interesting that we are really supporting the State Department of Ed in a very proactive way, but yet a lot of our work is being informed from reactionary too, from districts yeah. and State Department in reaction to data and what they're seeing. So that's the way the profession always has been, you know, it's always been that way, you know, and I don't think that'll ever change, you know, it's proactive and reactive at the same time. So, all right, but that's about it. Aaron, in preparation for our meeting on Monday, our board meeting, I'll just share the highlights and the work, and just from a, you know, a helicopter view, where CERC is positioned and kind of the work that we're doing.
Okay, very good.
All right.
Well, have a great weekend, everyone. And we'll
thank you.
Early next week.
And thank you, Aaron.
You too.
I just want, Aaron, thank you for your leadership, because it was really nice to see a CERC update on the State Board of Ed agenda.
Yeah, I was shocked when I first met with Charlene and then with George. I was shocked that it wasn't there. And I said, are you sure? I said, I'm pretty sure. But then they kept saying, you're getting them because you used to use it as a teacher. And so you were in that role. So I thought, it's there. And then I realized, no, it wasn't. And then I had to explain what CERC was to many of our new board members. You know, if you're not an educator, you're not going to know what it is, really. So I found that very interesting. And that was after, I mean, I've been on the board almost 7 years. So I just always assumed it was there because, you know, it would come up, certainly. CERC would come in front of the board. And I guess I was oblivious to my colleagues not knowing that. And I, you know, I can remember going to CERC, you know, 20 years ago to get training in various things, you know, as an educator. So it is, it's a little different.
So we thank you for your sphere of influence. Get our name
on. Welcome.
And I'm going to tell you though, CERC is now really out there. Cause Jen, you can really appreciate this. People thought I worked for CREC.
Yeah.
Honestly. Oh, you work for CREC in Hartford? No, CERC.
CERC, yes.
Right? Jen, we're always saying, and this year is the first time I've really not had to qualify and kind of explain the difference between both agencies.
Yeah. I know Estella was a big part of that push too. And of course, she has been chairing a lot of our meetings. And so she's, you know, she's a big push as, you know, have your update. I said, I'm ready to go.
That's great.
So it's good. Very good.
Great.
My pleasure.
All right. So Jen, I think Ingrid and I talked. When's your next board meeting, Aaron?
May 5th.
So Ingrid and I talked about Marjorie and I designing a kind of like an update from CERC to give to Aaron to share at the board of directors.
That's great.
Share at the State Board of Ed meeting.
Oh, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah, sometimes there was sometimes, you know, when the curriculum rolled out, there was that span of time where didn't have anything. So I was able to say, well, we just, you know, passed the greatest thing working on. So there's my report, you know, but there are sometimes the meeting times are a little off. And so I haven't necessarily had anything. So I'll talk about the PD, that, you know, continuing PD, because I knew that was continuing with the amount of, you know, especially the racial piece. So I'll put that in, but that would be great to have, you know, and especially if there's something you want to get out there.
Yep. So now it's May 5th?
May 5th.
All right. So Jen, if you can put in Marjorie's in my calendar, when would you need the narrative from us? Probably a couple days before?
Yeah, I would say the Monday before, you know, May 3rd is fine. All right. I mean, I can do it. Yeah, that's fine.
So put in our calendars. This way we can work, Marjorie and I can work and create the report so that we send it by May 3rd to Aaron for her, you know, part on the agenda to give CERC. How many minutes do you have normally?
Oh, they've never limited me to it. It's nice because our committee meetings come first, and I'm the chair of the policy development committee. which meets every time. I'm never on the committee. God, like figures I share the one that always has to meet. So that's pretty lengthy. And then I'll just go into that. NASB was another one because I was on a task force for NASB that just came to a close. So she would just say, instead of bouncing back and forth, just give all of yours, Erin. So they've never limited me to how long I can talk. We haven't really approached it yet, but as we sort of settle and you probably know that Alan is no longer there, but that is still very up in the air with the governor. Once we settle more on that, some of the new board members have asked, why are all those updates at the end of the meeting versus at the beginning? So you might see that change, which would be nice too, because it does come like, oh, we have to do, you know, we have to do committee updates. And it's like the last thing before everyone gets to leave. So we might change that in particular because the legislation policy committee that I chair, not often we try to prevent it, but sometimes we get that at 8:30 in the morning for our meeting, that hour and 15 minutes. And then we have to vote on it for as a full board. We try to have that never happen, that we have time for the full board to understand it a little bit more, but sometimes our timelines are stretched and they don't meet them, whatever reason. And if it's a time sensitive thing that we can't wait until the next board meeting, we do it that way. So I think you'll probably see that change, which would be nice because sometimes, you know, even CERC, you know, the curriculum is a perfect example. You know, we spent a lot of time on it. So, and then it was part of the report at the end of the meeting where it really should have been the other way around. You know, today you will receive, you know, you will see the curriculum for the first time or whatever, you know. So I'm hoping that change will come about because I think that it gives it sort of a sense of importance too.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this is great. So what we'll do is we'll get that report to you.
Okay.
On May 3rd, so at least you can share some highlights of the programming that CERC's engaged in.
Okay, very
good.
Erin, do you have a preferred format that you would like that in? Bullets or just in terms of how?
Bullets would probably be good because after I give it, I can also give it to our clerk who can give it to any board member that wants it. Because sometimes they'll say, can you give that to me, Erin? And, you know, she'll do that for me.
Okay.
And I think bullets always work well that way.
Great. Perfect.
Okay.
All right.
Great. All right. Okay.
That's our charge and we'll get it done for you.
All right. All right. See you next week, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Have a nice weekend.
You too.
Bye. Bye.